Hello, and welcome to this talk on the potential for collaborative and mobile technologies. This talk has been given as part of a workshop which has been organised by the RSC Southwest and SWIMLAC and held at the University of Bath on the 21st of September 2005. My name is Brian Kelly and I'm employed at UCOM, the National Centre of Expertise in Digital Information Management, based at the University of Bath. In today's talk, I'll be looking at the challenges we all face in an environment in which the users are king, in which users are arriving at our institutions, at our cultural heritage organisations, with a wide range of network devices and collaborative devices, such as mobile phones, MP3 players, digital cameras, etc. So within this environment, we'll be looking at a range of collaborative tools which users want to use, and in many cases are using, but also technologies which the users may not yet be aware of, but can help to support the user in their needs. I'll be looking at some of the challenges we will face in deploying these tools, and some thoughts on approaches to deployment. I should say that for today's workshop, feel free to use networked mobile applications to support the aims of the workshop, provided you keep disruptions at a minimum. So we've heard the phrase, content is king. But what does this phrase, this cliche mean? It's often used to mean that end users want content and they don't really care about the technology. But in reality, I would argue that communications is king. End users really want to communicate. And we've seen with internet technologies, the killer application is mainly email. And we can look at the popularity of mobile tools, mobile phones, and SMS messaging. Incredibly popular, despite the very poor user interface. And within a learning context, we know that learning is a social activity, so communications is particularly important in education to support that learning. Now, email is very popular. We're all familiar with email. It's been a very useful tool, initially for one-to-one communications, and then via mailing lists, one to many, and then for sending attached files. But I'm sure we're all aware of some of the limitations of email, the information overloads, the poor metadata, duplication of information, poor management capabilities, and all of the problems with malign use of email, spam and viruses and flamable and the like. In fact, there's a famous quote, email is where knowledge goes to die, which really refers to some of those problems about information overload and the lack of metadata for finding and accessing email information. And email also has limitations in terms of its underlying architecture. So email can be accessed via a wide range of email clients, but such universality is at the cost of limited functionality. In comparison with the web architecture, in which we have web servers, which can run scripts, which can integrate with other applications and back-end databases, which can provide personalization, which have authentication resumes, and the like. And then at the client, we can also have scripts running on the client, and we have plug-in technologies, we can have integration with other desktop applications, we can have personalization capabilities. So we can see that there are technical reasons why a web architecture for use of collaboration would appear to have advantages over email. And then we have mobile devices. We have mobile phones, we have PDAs, we have MP3 players, we have digital cameras. What do all these devices have in common? Well, they're all consumer devices which can be purchased down at shops such as Argos. They all have digital memory, and they all can make use of networks. They can also fit in the pocket. So increasingly we are finding that people will arrive at our organisations with these devices and may wish to exploit the devices. Looking at one device, the MP3 player, we're now finding that students are making use of MP3 players. There are services in which you can download recording of lectures. And with the recording capabilities of MP3 players, students can download, can record lectures for themselves. So this can be great in terms of maximising access, accessibility, providing an original source for supporting students revising. But of course there are many issues. There are issues about copyright, and lecturers, for example, may not be happy with their talks being recorded. So the point I'll be making during this talk, there are interesting potential for the use of such devices and such technologies, but there is also a need to take on board the wider context. And in particular, we'll find that increasingly there is a need for an acceptable use policy. We're also finding that there are commercial providers of services. So even if we do not provide such facilities within our own organisations, there may be the ability to outsource such usage to commercial providers. For example, there's Gmail, an emailing service provided by Google. And the technical environment is continually being developed. So Wi-Fi networks are becoming pervasive in many universities. Wi-Fi networks are becoming available in lecture rooms, in teaching spaces, but also in other spaces such as halls of residence and social areas such as bars, around the campus, around the fields around the campus, as well as in town, places like Starbucks, in pubs, in libraries. We're finding that a Wi-Fi environments are increasingly being provided to provide this Martini environments, access to the internet anytime, any place, anywhere. So how will this change the dynamics of teaching and learning, affect purchasing patterns, affect social activities, and also affect the role of the IT services who have traditionally provided such facilities? So I want you to imagine that you all have networked devices available that you can communicate with everybody in the room, but also with anybody with internet access around the globe. So let's look at the first technology, instant messaging. In a way, this is nothing new. It's been available on mainframe computers for many years. But now we're seeing new user communities are driving its use. For example, many young people are now using instant messaging to communicate with their friends. And within universities, overseas students often use instant messaging in order to communicate with their families back home. A recent poll of UK university IT services directors found that use of instant messaging was becoming very important. At Liverpool John Moores University, instant messaging was described as here to stay and an unstoppable time, and it's seen as part of youth culture along with SMS. Here at Bath University, students were felt to be arriving here familiar with and expecting to use such tools. And interestingly, email is seen by younger people as boring and full of spam, with instant messaging and SMS preferred because of the immediacy they provide. It is true to say that there are also the downside. So is use of instant messaging mean that students can't use the PC for word processing and the like? And there are also some issues about interoperability. So as we'll see throughout this talk, there will be a real potential for some of these new technologies, but also a range of issues which will need to be considered. Some of the popular instant messaging tools included tools provided by MSA, Yahoo, and AOL. Many of these tools, such as Instant Messenger, provide not only messaging capabilities, but also some group work capability. For example, sharing desktop applications, file transfer, and integration with webcams. However, there are issues regarding interoperability. That mainstream instant messaging world is closed, so MSN users can talk to each other and AOL users can talk to each other, but not across those different environments. There are some multi-protocol clients, such as Game and Trillium, which may be useful. But perhaps the most important technological area is Jabber, which provides an open source framework with open source clients and servers which support the open instant messaging protocol known as XMPP. Stop. We should also note that instant messaging can be used in different ways. As well as the dedicated applications we've discussed, they can also be used as part of a richer environment, perhaps part of a virtual learning environment, within a portal, as part of a mailing list environment. For example, the Yahoo Groups service integrates mailing lists with instant messaging and other environments such as voting and calendars. Sometimes these tools might maybe prefer because it means that you can go to a particular place as opposed to the information coming to you. Some people prefer this, others don't. So there will also be issues about personal preferences. The Giscmail service provides similar additional functionalities with voting systems and chat rooms. An advantage with Giscmail is being funded by Jisc and available for the higher and further education communities. It does not have the adverts that are available in the Yahoo Groups service, and it can be more responsive to the particular needs of its community. One technology which can be important is RSS. Now, email has its role, but there can be problems about messages which are no longer valid when the user reads them, or the spam that we all see in our email. And the fact that email, great for communication, two-way communications, might not be the ideal mechanism for one-way communications, when we just want to receive information, and when users wish to select preferred channels. So RSS is a lightweight standard which has been used, its core as part of the Jisc information environment, and there are many RSS clients available. Another technology which could replace email is voice over IP, telephone capabilities on the internet. And perhaps the most well-known example is Skype, which can be used for telephone calls, for conference calls with up to four other people, as well as instant messaging. And you can also ring landlines and mobile phone numbers with a cheap paid-for option. But Skype and similar voiceover IP applications are just one part of it. There are a whole set of additional technologies which can be used to support that rich text, voice, and video communications. And one that we have used at UConn is VRVS, which is part of the Access Grid technologies. To move on, we have blogging, which in some sectors may be regarded as just a fashionable thing. Or on the other hand, some argue it's tremendously significant in changing the role of publishing and communications. So it can be used as a student learning diary. But there can be problems if the student is just working on their own. So a more sustainable approach is likely if blogging is used as part of a community. So here we see an example at Queen's University Belfast of a particular course in which all students are encouraged to keep notes and records using blogs. You may say, well, with blogging, I have to go to a website in order to find the information, as opposed to email it comes to me. Well, that's no longer true, because with blogs, the information can be pushed to you in various ways using RSS. So you can have alerts of changes in blog files with pop-up alerts from applications in a Windows start bar. You can also have dedicated blogging clients for submitting blog articles, blog tools which look like email and perhaps can be integrated with email. So a wide range of different approaches to blogging. And then we have wikis. So wikis can be regarded as a web-based collaborative authoring tools. The most famous one is probably the Wikipedia, which is a shared global encyclopedia. You may find that you're already in the Wikipedia. So you can find that your organisation is information about your organisation is published in a Wikipedia. We can see here an example of Birmingham University is available in Wikipedia. So you can't actually stop people creating entries about your organisation. So you may wish to think about being proactive. And in this workshop, you will be making use of wikis for note-taking. So a simple wiki known as Wikalong, which can be used to keep notes from discussion groups. Wikis can be good for collaborative working on documents, particularly by small numbers of people who have similar objectives and shared understandings, and when there's a broad agreement on role of the documents, use in a trusted environment, or use with enthusiasts. However, wikis can be poor if there are large numbers of people with diverse objectives and aims, or in a trusted environment, or for use by skeptics. We should also remember good old SMS, incredibly popular. So why aren't organisations such as ours making greater use of SMS? Well, within the university sector, a number of universities are now thinking about using SMS for sending out exam results, for sending out information from the library about when reserved books are due back or books are required back. And then potentially we also have 3G, or perhaps that is one for the future. I will now finish here.